This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my prayer that your spirit is strong and that your faith is strong, all in the Lord, for our Lord is wonderful, wonderful. And when I say your spirit is strong, I mean that Christ in you is strong, and you are going about day by day to live according to his word, and you're enjoying this trip that is called life on planet Earth. Your attention is called to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, the reading begins at verse 35. Mark chapter 8, the reading begins at verse 35. For whosoever will save, let's read it again now. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Luke chapter 8, verses 35 through 38. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, let each listener be blessed. Help each listener to be blessed. Cause each listener to be blessed. Bless each listener. In Jesus' name I beseech thee. Amen. Amen and amen. Without going into the background of our scripture, let's discuss it on face value. Be ashamed and be ashamed of. Be ashamed and be ashamed of. That is not a recommendation. That is an examination of a situation that some will tragically find themselves in the future. Be ashamed and be ashamed of. Most of us do not want people to be ashamed of us. And yet, we have here a formula for engendering shame on ourselves just because we were ashamed. Jesus says, and this is Jesus, these words are the words that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoke. We read here in Mark chapter 8, verse 35, that Jesus said the following, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Again, that is Mark chapter 8, verses 35 through 38. Be ashamed and be ashamed of. Be ashamed and be ashamed of. Many of you who are Christians don't seem to really understand the warfare that is active between God and Satan. Satan is offensive against God and is on the offensive against God. And Satan loves to accuse God of bribing his children, that is, the children of God, to get our worship. In other words, Satan is trying to say that God is not worthy of our worship, and he's also trying to say that we don't worship God of our own free will, but that we worship God for what we can get from him. Satan knows that God is real, and he knows that Almighty God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, is the only God who truly is God. Satan has sense enough to know that there can be only one Almighty God, and he knows that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Israel is Almighty. Why does Satan know that? Because Satan was in heaven at one time, and he rose up against Almighty God, and God evicted him from heaven for all times. And Satan has continued to oppose God. And we see in the book of Job as it opens, unfolding before our eyes and in our ears as we read the words of the book of Job or the words of Satan accusing God of bribing Job in so many words. And Satan likes to use God's children against God. And he is doing that with us. And apparently he is having good success in many quarters. Why do I say that? Because I see so-called churches embracing sin. Sin is not of God. Sin is of Satan. And every time Satan can get a church or a child of God to embrace sin, Satan wins a point against God. And so Satan has to be laughing because there are many people today who appear to be ashamed of the Lord. There are people who are afraid to name the name of the Lord in public because it is not popular in many quarters. Jesus spoke here, and we read his words, and I will read them again in your hearing. In Mark chapter 8, verses 35 through 38. Jesus said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." And so it has been clear for at least 2,000 years that it is dangerous to stand for Jesus Christ. But Jesus gives us the value points that if we deny him, he will deny us. And if we deny him, we lose our souls. If we deny him down here, he will deny us before his Father. We read that in another scripture in the New Testament. Listen to what he says here. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." I dare say, my friends, many of you are afraid to call the name of Jesus in public. Many of you are afraid to call the name of Jesus on your jobs. Many of you are afraid to call the name of Jesus in government company. Why? Because Satan has so invaded those various entities that it is dangerous. And yet you are denying your Lord, and the people around you who are on their way to hell will go right on to hell because you are not trying to get them saved. In many cases, not in every case, some of you are. You are afraid because you know if you name the name of Jesus, they will report you to the human resources. And the demons in human resources who are afraid to name the name of Jesus will try to take your job from you. And so you have good reason to be afraid, but you do not have sufficient reason to refrain from doing what the Lord says do. Let me read in your hearing again from Mark chapter 8, verse 35. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You are exchanging your soul for the silence of not naming the name of Jesus. Well, Reverend, you know, they have laws now. They have federal laws and they have state laws. And if I do that, I'll lose my job and my family will lose our house and our cars and whatever we have. And so, my brother, and so, my sister, what you are telling me is that your house is more important than your soul. You're telling me that your car is more important than your soul. You're telling me that your present well-being in this temporary existence is more important than your eternal well-being after this temporary existence has ended. But Reverend, you know, there are people who have just named Jesus and they've gotten fired. The devil has done that, my friend. Don't be ignorant. Satan is doing this all around the world, not just where you are. He has shut the mouths of Christians around the world. They have exchanged their souls for their present well-being. Listen to what Jesus says. Verse 36 of Mark chapter 8. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? But Reverend, what do? I don't want to lose my soul. You stand up against Jesus, and Reverend, I'll surely get fired. Well, if God is real, he ought to be able to handle that problem. If naming the name of the Lord gets me fired, then that's God's problem. Because if God is real, and he is, I ought to be able to name his name. But Reverend, they have laws against it, and the devil is a liar. Don't you know that's hell that has raised itself and enlarged itself in our society, and we are quiet? We say we are Christians, but we are exchanging our souls for our present day safety. Well, Reverend, the preacher told me that if once I was saved, I was always saved. My brother, I believe that if you are saved, you will not exchange your soul for your current present day well-being. But Reverend, it doesn't make good sense. Reverend, I've been on this job 17 years. I only have a few more years before I can retire. Let me read to you what Jesus said, my brother. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is it going to profit you? Those people you are afraid of are fornicators, adulterers, homosexual activity workers, thieves and liars, people of Satan, and they have shut you up. Who are you? What are you? They are living together. They are jumping into bed one with another. They are being intimate with human beings in every crevice of the body. Animals don't do that. They don't have the respect that animals have. They don't have the decency that animals have. Animals do not become intimate in every crevice of another animal's body. These demons who have shut you up are doing all manner of evil. And you are sitting there crouching down in a corner of captivity because you are afraid to name the name of the Lord. You need to rise up against Satan and curse him in the name of Jesus. Maybe not curse him, but say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Satan, the Lord rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I, Pastor Clarence William Page as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ on planet Earth in the year 2012. I rise up against the forces of hell in Jesus' name, and I hereby now implore the power of God, and I bring against hell and against Satan the power of Almighty God. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee, saying, the Lord rebuke thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. My friends, that is an example of what you need to do. You need to get together with other Christians. And you all need to rise up and rebuke that devil. He is having a field day in shutting us up and in capturing us and having us crouched down in a corner like we are three-year-old children. The devil is a liar. You rise up. No, you don't get a gun. No, you don't get a knife. But you have power in your mouth. You have power in your mouth. What is my power, Reverend? It is the name of Jesus. What is my power, Reverend? It is the name of Jesus. You've got to bring the power of Almighty God in heaven to bear against the stuff that the devil in hell is doing. Rise up in the name of Jesus. You get with other Christians and you rebuke that devil, and you will see things begin to happen that you never thought would happen. You will begin to see God move himself on his throne. How will I know that God has moved himself on his throne, Reverend? Because earthquakes will occur in diverse places. Because there will be a trembling on planet Earth until the devil looses this earth, and until the devil's people turn to Almighty God and cry out and say, God, have mercy on us. As long as Christians are quiet, as long as we let them push us into a corner and refuse to name the name of Jesus, Satan's train will keep on rolling throughout planet Earth. No, you don't fight with your fists. No, you don't curse people with your mouth. You don't argue with them. You take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you take the name of Jesus. You need to read Philippians chapter 2. Many of you do not know the power that is in the name of Jesus. I have seen the power in the name of Jesus shake this earth. I have seen God move. I have seen God move immediately upon Christians asking him to move himself on his throne. I have seen prayer meetings wherein God was asked to move, and I've seen God move within 24 hours. If I were to tell you the events, you would know of them. And you would say, oh yes, I didn't know you all had a prayer meeting. Yes, we've had prayer meetings where we've been pressed so much by the devil that we said, God, move yourself on your throne. Oh, you can talk to God. You can talk to God. Abraham said to God, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? It is not right for Satan to shut us up like this, God. It is not right for Satan and his people to shut us up. My friend, you got to get God to move on his throne. You don't go out there and fight and cut and shoot yourself. No, that's not your job. That's God's job. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You have power in your mouth. You have power in your tongue, but the devil has you too afraid to use it. You've got to name the name of Jesus. You've got to understand that there is great power in the name of Jesus. How do I know that, Reverend? Read Philippians chapter 2. But what does it say, Heaven? It says about Jesus, for God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What does that mean, Reverend? It means that the name of Jesus, because of the power that's in the name of Jesus, the angels in heaven must yield. What does it mean, Reverend? It means that because of Jesus and the power that's in the name of Jesus, the beings on planet earth and the spirits on planet earth must yield. What does it mean, Reverend? It means that because of the power that's in the name of Jesus, all the inhabitants of hell under the earth must yield. God has given him a name which is above every name. I've seen that name do wonderful things. That's what Satan does not want you to know. Satan knows that. Christ has already defeated Satan. But he wants to keep you ignorant. And he has shut your mouth. He has shut you up. For they particularly do not want the name of Jesus' name. Now you can name the names of many of the other so-called deities, the false gods, the idol gods. They don't really mind you naming that name, because they know there's no power in those names aside from what you think in your mind. But Satan knows assuredly that God has given Jesus a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm giving you a formula. Wherever you are in the world, all you need to do is get the word of God, and you need to pray unto God, and you need to rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. And wherever Satan has his strongholds, you will begin to see the very foundation shake. God is not pleased with what we are doing by allowing ourselves to be silenced. And Jesus was very clear here in Mark chapter 8, where he said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What are you giving in exchange for your soul? The most important possession you have is your soul. That's your most valuable possession. Are you going to exchange that for a few days of pleasure on planet Earth? Oh no. Oh no, that makes no sense. There is no wisdom in that. That is foolishness. Let's read now verse 38 of Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory, up here in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now you see, some of you are saying, "Well, we're going to say, but Lord, you know, it was dangerous to do it. Lord, you know, we had to maintain our safety." Jesus took away that argument when he used the words adulterous and sinful. He knew it would be dangerous. That's why he said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation." He expects you to stand up for him in the adulterous
and in the sinful generation. That's what Satan is bringing against us. We are in an adulterous and sinful generation. And Satan is capturing Christians because Christians are not standing up, in many cases, are not standing up in this adulterous and sinful generation.
It is very clear. It is very clear. It is very clear in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, that Jesus Christ expects Christians to stand up for him in the adulterous and sinful generation. And you say, and my co-workers will think I'm an idiot. You are 100% right. They've thought that of me for years. They've kept their thumbs on me for years. They've held me down for years. They've not promoted me for years. They've not given me a raise for years. They've treated me like a three-year-old for years because I don't seem to have sense enough to keep my mouth shut about Jesus Christ. But I read Mark chapter 8. Verse 38. So you're not the only one. I know what they will do to you. They've done it to me. But in the name of Jesus, I trust God. If the God I trust can't take care of me, then I don't need to trust him. I don't need to name him. I don't need to name his name. But if he can take care of me, then I'm a fool to not stand up in this adulterous and sinful generation. My friend, you can't have it both ways. You can't have your safety and your holiness. You can't have your assurance with man and your assurance with God. God can't be your God if man is going to be your God. And if God is going to be your God, then God must be your God and man must not be your God. The devil is a liar. When he says, I can't name the name of Jesus, he's a liar. When he says, I can't say Jesus Christ, he's a liar from hell. And you need to stand up and say, Satan, I'm going to stand for God in this adulterous and sinful generation. Whatever you decide to do to me, that's in God's hands. I'm not going to change my soul for this temporary safety. You would say, well, Reverend, I hear what you're saying. You sound like you're a little angry, and I don't think you're giving good advice. You wanted me to suffer, and God wants me to enjoy life. God doesn't want me to suffer, but God wants me to really, really have a good time in life, and you are telling me that I ought to do things that don't make sense. And Reverend, my pastor does not do that. My pastor tells me that God wants me to prosper and be in health. And my pastor tells me that God wants me to make this money and bring it to the church. My pastor tells me it doesn't make sense for me to stand up and do foolish things, but that God wants me happy. And Reverend, you are not my pastor, and you are telling me I ought to do crazy things. My friends, come with me. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to show you a principle in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to show you what faith is all about. I don't believe you would characterize Moses as being an idiot, as being an imbecile, or as being an extremely foolish man. I don't believe you would characterize Moses as being foolish. And I call you then to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now he was living in Pharaoh's palace, and Pharaoh's daughter was acting as his mama.
Pharaoh's daughter had control over him, and Pharaoh had control over Egypt. But look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You are choosing to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season when you refuse to name the name of Jesus, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So you are without excuse. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You are choosing to stand with Satan's people and keep your mouth closed rather than name Jesus and suffer affliction with the people of God. Then to ensure he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And not just Moses, his parents also had faith. Let's look at what it says. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You are afraid of the king's commandment. You are afraid of the government that says you better not name Jesus Christ in here. You are afraid of the laws of the command. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, the reason you are allowing Satan to keep you captured and keep you kneeling down in a corner to him and not naming Jesus is because your faith is weak. You don't have the faith. You are not reading the word. You are not praying enough. You are not fasting enough. You are not drawing nigh enough to Almighty God. Moses did this by faith. Moses' parents did this by faith. Because of your lack of faith, you are ashamed of Jesus. And if you don't change, he is going to be ashamed of you. That's what we read here in Mark chapter 8, verses 35 to 38. Some of you are preachers. Some of you are deacons. Some of you are bishops. Some of you are trustees. Some of you are Sunday school teachers. Some of you are missionaries and missionary presidents, but you are afraid of the devil because your faith is weak. Because more than likely, your church is weak. Because more than likely, you are not having prayer meeting. And if they are having prayer meeting, you aren't going. And if you are going, you're probably having 2 or 3 prayers and 10 or 15 songs if you stay that long. Because prayer meeting can turn into song meeting. But when I have prayer meeting, I refuse to sing more than one song between every prayer, because I've seen prayer meetings turn into song meetings. People like to sing, but we need to pray. If it's prayer meeting, then you need to pray. And when I have prayer meeting, I don't sing but one song between each prayer. I've seen God do mighty things. I've seen God do almighty things. I know what God can do. But because you're not praying, because you're not staying long enough in the presence of God, your faith is weak. And Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And I'll tell you something else, preachers and bishops and Sunday school teachers and deacons, you have been so captured by Satan that you've lost the holy day. You've lost the Lord's day. Many of you run to church and then run home to watch the game. You should not be watching games on the holy day. Oh, Paige, you are way back in the Old Testament. And Paige, I don't know what you're talking about. Sports are a thing now. What are you talking about, Paige? I'm talking about taking the Lord's day for your pleasure. God is not pleased with it. And you are so weak and your faith is so weak, you don't even know. You don't even know that God is not pleased with what you are doing on the holy day. You can't wait for the Super Bowl to come. It is a shame. I stand behind this now. I stand behind this forever. It is a shame for a Christian to watch sports on the Sabbath day. It is a shame. It is a shame. And I say it to you, and you're going to laugh, and you're going to say, oh, what's wrong with you? You don't know the Lord's word. You don't know how upset God's give. You don't know how upset God gets when you take his holy day and do your pleasures. God does not appreciate your taking his holy day and doing your pleasures. And many of you are doing that, and you don't even know that God is not pleased. I call you back to God. You are losing your souls. You are losing your way, or you've lost your way. And you are also leading people down an ungodly way. Why are you doing that? Because you are so weak. Your faith is so weak. Your church is so weak, and you are allowing Satan to capture you. Satan has captured you, and you are doing his bidding. Your church is weak, and you are leading people wrongly. I am not accusing you. I'm just telling you what God has laid out for us in the Holy Bible. God does not like it when we take his holy day and use it for our pleasures. And when you watch the game on Sunday, when you watch the Super Bowl, you say, well, Reverend, that's the only day we can watch it. That's the day we see it. We see it for real. And so if we don't watch it, we'll miss it. Don't you know that that's why Satan has it on that day? Don't you know that that's why Satan put it on Sunday? Aren't you wise enough to know that that's why Satan did it? Well, some of the athletes, they come out and they say they love the Lord and this and that. I'm talking about what the Lord wants, my friends. I'm talking about rising up
against that evil that Satan has brought. This society is so ungodly that most of you are swimming in it, and it seems like it's the thing to do. By watching the games, and everybody asks you about the game, and if you don't know anything about the game, then you can't talk to them, and that is right. If you don't know anything, because that's what they're into, and in that they're into it, you are into it also. And so you see, Satan has captured you. And when Satan captures somebody, it's like swimming in water. You may get in and the water may feel a little cold to you. But after you're in a while, then you acclimate. And the water feels all right because now you have acclimated to the water. Satan has acclimated you to his sin. He has acclimated you to his society. He has acclimated you to sports on Sunday. He's acclimated you to gambling. He's acclimated you to fornication. He's acclimated you to adultery. He has acclimated you to homosexual activity. He has acclimated you. And you don't really know the difference between that which is holy and that which is not holy. But I come to tell you that even though you say it's all right, God does not say it's all right. Because the holy day is a day separated unto God. The holy day is a day separated unto God. And if you take it for sports, if you take it for your pleasure, you are rising up against God. And that's what Satan has done. Satan has caused you to rise up against God. Satan has caused you to sit before your televisions on the holy day. Satan has caused you to sit before your televisions on the holy day. Satan has caused you to sit before your televisions on the holy day. And you don't know now any difference between the holy day and the weekday, because you do the same things on the holy day that you do on the weekday. And the word holy means separated unto God. Separated unto God. Separated unto God. Well, Reverend, I don't go to work on Sunday. No, you don't, but you go to the games on Sunday. You sit there and you watch the movies on Sunday. It is not a sacred day anymore to you, because you do on the holy day that which is done on other days, and God is not pleased with it. Even God himself rested on the holy day. He rested on the seventh day. But no, you're going to watch your game, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. Well, Reverend, my preacher is a seminary professor, and he says you are wrong. And I say I'm not going to argue with your seminary professor, but I say he needs to read the Word of God. I says he needs to come back to the Bible. He may even need to get saved. Your seminary professor may even need to get saved. He may not be saved. If he is watching the Super Bowl on Sunday, he may not be saved. I'm not saying for sure, but he may not be saved, because he does not have a sense of what is holy and what is unholy. And there are many people who are in church who are not saved. They are not saved because they have never truly turned themselves over to Almighty God. And Satan has grasped them and has them under his control. Oh, they look at us as if we're foolish. They say we're foolish. They say people like me are stupid. We know that. We understand that. We understand what they think of us. But you see, you are afraid that if you really stand up for holiness, that they're going to say about you what they say about me. They're going to say about you what they say about others of the Christians, the children of God, and you don't want that to be said. We understand that, but you see, we are going to stand for God. And no matter what happens, we will stand for God every day, every week, every month, every year. For He is our God, and beside Him there is no God. He is God in heaven above. He is God in earth beneath. He is my God. He is the great God. He is the Savior. We started out talking about not denying the Lord. And I said to you that you deny Him when you allow Satan to capture you and cause you to crouch down in a corner and not name the name of the Lord. But Almighty God is wonderful beyond compare. He is the great God. He is the holy God. He is the almighty God. He is God in heaven above. He is God in earth beneath. And I want you to hear this today. I want you to hear this, my friend. I want you to understand that God is not pleased with some of the stuff we are doing, and we are not, we are not, we are not, we are not, we are not being right in the sight of God. We are not standing up for what God wants. And as long as we couch down and let Satan take over God's world, we are showing that we would rather enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so I call you, my friends, I call you, I call you, I call you to holiness. I call you, I call you, I call you to stand with the Lord. I want to show you also that if you will just stand for God, that He will stand for you. That if you will just be what He wants you to be, that you will have a wonderful life. There are those of you who are just afraid. Your faith is weak because you have calculated that standing for God is dangerous. And it is. But not standing for God will send you to hell. Not standing for God will cause Christ to deny you, because He said quite clearly, if you deny Him down here, He will deny you before His Father, which is in heaven. And so if you think that you can keep on denying Him and be blessed by Him, think again, my friends. You cannot keep on denying God and be blessed by Him. For He is the God who sees everything. And if He sees everything, then He judges everything. And if He judges everything, then everything is important. I want to leave you with this. Some of you are cringing because I said something about the Sabbath day, about the holy day. But listen here. I want you to come to Isaiah chapter 58. I want to close with this. We started out, of course, in the book of Mark. And in Mark chapter 8, we read verses 35 through 38. If you join me later, come to Mark chapter 8 and read verses 35 through 38, particularly 38, which says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." I told you that if you're ashamed of Jesus, he'll be ashamed of you. Then I took you to Hebrews chapter 11 and showed you that by faith, Moses' parents
And by faith, Moses himself did that which was right. I told you that the reason you are doing some of the things that you ought not be doing is because you are afraid, and the reason you are afraid is because your faith is weak. Then I told you, if you are watching the Super Bowl and watching sports on Sunday, you are sinning and you are laughing at me and you are saying, well, Pace is a fool. I want to leave you with the word of God. I don't think you are foolish enough to call him a fool. I don't mind you calling me a fool. That's no problem with me. But I don't think you are foolish enough to call God a fool. Let's look then at Isaiah chapter 58. I'll leave you with these words. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. I want you to turn there because I want you to see this with your own eyes. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And look at verse 13. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Let me read it for you one more time. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. And I'm live with you in case you're wondering, am I listening to a recording? This is being preached on January the 27th, 2012. I am live with you right now. It is approximately 10:45 Eastern Time. And so you are listening to me live, approximately 10:45 Eastern Time in the USA, 10:45 Eastern Time on January 27, 2012. Yes, you are hearing me live now. Some of you will hear this sermon later, and it will not be live at that time. But I'm saying that for the benefit of those who are tuned in right now. A live preacher is preaching to you live. And I want to read to you once again on January 27, 2012, at approximately 10:46 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and honor the holy of the Lord. Let me start over because I don't want to mess the Lord's word up. Let me start back reading Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, thou seest planet earth. Yes, it is indeed an adulterous and sinful generation. But I will stand for thee wherever the road leads. I ask you, Almighty God, to move yourself on your throne on behalf of the people of Almighty God. We are your children, and the devil is pressing down upon us real hard. Almighty God, come see about your children. In Jesus' name, I beseech thee. Amen. Amen.